This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1.
Welcome in the next 60 minutes. Everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. Tonight, let me begin by wishing you a happy new year from your Friday Sport team. And also to say these words. We are top of the league. Say, we are top of the league. Ticket whilst it's there, that's my motto. A chance to increase that gap tomorrow when the Dons face St Mirren and Paisley. We're with the boss and the team in moments. Plus the rest of the league and beyond, travelling down the divisions and across the country for the beautiful game. As well as rugby and more, right here in Friday Sport with John and the two Daves.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
Top of the league and chasing an eighth win on the bounce, but boss Derek McInnes keeping everyone focused and feet firmly on the ground ahead of meeting St Mirren in Paisley tomorrow afternoon.
No, we haven't found that an easy ground to 1-1 at this since I've come in. And it was a game at Pittodrie, you know, a couple of months back where we totally dominated and should have won. We lose a last minute penalty. I think that for me was a strong performance that merited 3 points, you know, and I think if we can get something close to that performance, it'll certainly give ourselves a chance to win the game. But the aim is to go there and win. But we are playing against a team who are fighting for their lives, who are under a caretaker manager who's doing all he can to get the job there, Gary. And you know, we've no doubts that it's going to be a tough match for us, as most weeks are.
Chance to once again go 4 points clear at the top. Is that on the agenda at all, or is it just a case of let's just win the game?
No, I think we just want to win. We're obviously happy where we are, and be foolish to say otherwise. You know, I think that. But the opportunity to win 3 points is there, as every week, and to do that, we must have that complete focus and concentration to give ourselves a chance to do it. But it would be nice all the same, yeah, of course. We've always spoke about, regardless of opposition, whether they're flying high at the top or struggling for points at the bottom, it's always really what we bring to the game that we can affect. And I do believe that if we are strong in our performance and we've got enough good individual performances, then I do believe that we're going to be a real tough opponent for St Mirren, and as we've shown over the last wee while. But we are playing against a team who are fighting for their lives, who are capable of winning games. We've got players that can hurt you, and we've got our job in our hands, and nobody's going to give us points. Every point earned is going to be hard fought for, and we aim to go down there with confidence, as you'd expect on the run we're on. I think players are relishing the challenge and relishing that the next game becomes an even bigger game, and Saturday is one of those, and we're looking forward to it.
Evening, you're on North Sound 1's Friday Sport. I'm John Mellis, joining me tonight, Tim McDermott and Dave Galloway. When was the last time we came back from the Christmas break, top of the table, Dave?
I think when I was very, very young, which wasn't yesterday.
There's been some great stuff in the festive period as well, isn't there? I think perhaps most pleasing to watch, the performance against St Johnstone, who were the other form team coming into that fixture, so a real test. And it was 2-0 with that breakaway goal in the dying moments, but it could and probably should have been a good few more. And then last week at Fir Park, I thought, without reaching those same heights possibly to watch, we were clinically efficient. Every reason to be confident going into tomorrow's match as well, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the really encouraging thing, is that we've played the teams, you know, if you take the games against St Johnstone, like you mentioned, United and Hamilton in that run, teams round about us. And to be perfectly honest, none of these sides could have complained if we'd come away with five, because yeah, we've been so much in command against all, and we've looked, frankly, quite a good few gears better than all of those sides. And the only thing that's missing is that we're perhaps not putting away the amount of chances that we should, given the number of chances that are being created. So if you can do that part of it, all as well. Because as the manager rightly pointed out after the Motherwell game, you know, by keeping missing these chances, some team somewhere along the line is going to take advantage of those. So it's fantastic, though, and the record of the defensive record that we're in the middle of, really out of this world. And long may it continue. And we go down if we just keep the same and the same mantra, one game at a time, and really treat, as we are doing, I think, each game as though it's a cup final, because we know that we have to keep that level of performance. And if we do that, then, you know, who knows what may happen. But everything right now, concentrating on tomorrow's visit to Paisley.
Yeah, all sorts of stats there, as you mentioned, being thrown around in the back of this little run, including the most marginally defensive planet Earth right now, I think, which is down to a number of things. But amongst those, the ever-improving Ash Taylor, Dave, who seems to just come on leaps and bounds in recent matches.
Yeah, he's been absolutely outstanding the last few games. He gets better every time I see him play, and it says a lot for his ability and his character that, you know, he bounced back from what was a bit of a nightmare against Dundee United at Pittodrie when, you know, he sold the first goal. Players of lesser character would have gone into hiding and they could have crumbled, but he's just kept working away and he's got better and better. And for such a big lad, there's a lot more to his game than just using height. He's got strength, he's got pace, he's got passing ability as well.
Ryan Jack, we've spoken about in recent weeks, and we keep coming back to him, Dave. The thing is, the role that he plays isn't one that's easily recognised or that shines in terms of what he has to do, the workload that he has. But he's just got some really big plaudits in the last few weeks.
Well, I've said it often that about how there's, you know, take Celtic Scott Brown out of the equation. There's no better midfielder in Scotland right now, I don't think. And you know, it can't be long before he makes that step up from the 21s, which he's now too old for, to the full national squad.
It's a matter of logic, would
because he really, if you watch, he just. He breaks up play. He knows the ball is like stuck to his foot when he's got it. He just takes himself and with never panics, just casually gets himself out of trouble and sets the attack in motion. The one thing, of course, that perhaps he, and I know the manager's mentioned it on occasion, is to maybe see a bit more of Ryan in an attacking job. But when you've got so many flair players round about you, you do need someone to do that dirty work. But certainly I know the guys encourage Ryan to have a go. You know, he scored the one goal this season, but I'm sure he's very much capable of scoring more. And it is something we know from experience in seasons gone by. He's got it in his locker. I remember a fantastic shot he hit up at Cali a couple of seasons ago, which was a real screamer. So he's in danger of becoming the complete midfielder.
the thing you mentioned there, you said it's like he's got the ball glued to his feet. We've spoken about Peter Pollitt in the past as just taking off and no one being able to get anywhere near him. The thing with Ryan is he almost looks like he's moving slower and still nobody's able to get near him.
I think Peter has got the explosive pace that Ryan doesn't have, but equally, you're absolutely right. He just seems to know when to shimmy, when to dip a shoulder, when to turn one way, when to go the other. And he always seems to manage to end up by finding a teammate. So after saying that, I only give the ball away to Zimmerman player in the first seconds of the game.
Please not.
Another who's taken a lot of praise in recent weeks, Don's keeper, Scott Brown.
The clean sheets are great, but the most important thing is we're winning games of football, and that's what matters. There's 3 points available on Saturday, and that's what we'll be looking to do. And it's like there is every week, there's 3 points available, and this weekend's no different. Just because Celtic aren't playing, it doesn't make a difference.
Scott, the boys appear to have discovered that different ways of winning, which is great. They've shown that they can play teams off the park and score lots of goals. They've also shown that they can roll their sleeves up and adapt. I mean, how pleasing is that?
Yeah, that's really pleasing. I mean, we like to get the ball down and we like to play, but sometimes pitches at this time of the year aren't great, and teams don't allow us to do that because they work really hard against us to try and stop us doing that. And you've got to have more ways than one to win, and that's what we've got.
And just in general, the fans' response, League Cup semi-final tickets go on general sale today. We've already sold 15 or 16,000 tickets. I mean, what do you make of the fans' response?
Yeah,
response in general?
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, they're right behind us. I think someone said that it was unbelievably high crowd for the first week in January and the week before Christmas, and they're getting right behind us and they want us to do well, and the support home and away has always been fantastic since I've been here.
Again, perhaps a testament to the players in front of him, but I don't think we really had to call too much upon Scott Brown to be anything other than steady until we played Inverness in the Highlands, and I thought he really came into his own that day. But solid performances. A couple of things I've noticed watching him, a pro and a slight con perhaps, but I'm sure you correct me on this, Dave. I cringe a little bit when opposing teams get a corner or the chance to pump a high ball into the box. I don't think Scott's at his most comfortable in those situations.
He's a keeper that likes to punch. you know, and keepers do fall into different categories. I think he's growing in confidence with every game. I mean, I think he was, somebody mentioned to him about being compared to Jim Leighton as the manager.
Yes.
You know, and Scott himself said he's played 13 games. Jim was a
legend. He looked for a bit embarrassed.
1300 years. And it was great at the press yesterday. All the journalists were laughing because Scott, more than anybody, the mantra of one game at a time. In fact, the written guys were saying to him, you know, and how are you eating these days? One meal at a time. So, so it really was getting to the. But absolutely right. You know, just keep. Don't deviate from that. Don't let anything derail Aberdeen from the way they're going right now. And I think Scott's done. And I think also, just in fairness to Jamie, because we know he's got his detractors, we're certainly fans of Jamie. I think the change between Jamie and Scott happened after the Hamilton game, and if you remember, that also ended the experimental way that we were playing, where we were going a bit more gung-ho, but we were also leaving ourselves fairly wide open at the back. So Scott has had an easier life, and he'd be the first to admit it, than Jamie had in the few games before he was dropped. So
I think also, you mentioning a sort of plus point for Jamie, to Jamie's credit, I think he's just worked away and continues to work away and taking it in his stride.
Goalies always do that. You know, they are a breed apart. It's the only position where if you're not playing, then the guy that you're normally closest to in the dressing room is playing. So, you can throw the dummies out the pram, but that's not really the best way to go about. So Jamie, consummate professional, has just got on with it, and he's still pretty loud. You still hear him before you see him, and he's just getting on with it and working hard, and eager to play as many games for the 20s as he can, just to keep his game time in and encouraging Scott while he's the man in possession.
I think it typifies Jamie's attitude as well. I noticed on Twitter the other night he was congratulating Scott Brown on his great run. I think that speaks volumes for Jamie's character.
Just one more plus on Scott while we're on the subject. I thought his distribution of the ball has been superb in recent games, turning defence into attack really quickly, either with an intelligent throw or a kick. But he seems to have a real understanding and read of what's going on around him, so far as the play is concerned, which is not always guaranteed with a goalie, is it?
No, that's quite right. And getting back to his distribution, when he gets a back pass, he's very, very good at just belting it straight down the park. Rather than slicing it out of the park, he's very, very good with the way that he handles the back passes, and I think that gives the back four a lot of confidence as well.
He's obviously learned that from Jim Leighton, his coach.
Not.
Sorry, it's an unfortunate moment to laugh there. Don't forget, the entire match tomorrow is live on North Sound 2's Game On digital radio, online at northsound2.com and on 10:35 AM. Our commentary team of the two Daves and Andrew Shiney in position as always. And here at North Sound 1, you'll hear all the goals as they happen on Gossip and Goals with Elisa. Just ahead, Dirk McInnes pointed out that Paisley hasn't been a hugely successful hunting ground for the team since he's been in charge. Coming next, we hear from St Mirren interim boss Gary Teal in just a moment. North Sound 1's Friday Sport.
North Sound 1, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmoor and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sport.
It's St Mirren versus Aberdeen tomorrow in Paisley. Their interim boss is Gary Teal, and what follows is perhaps more indicative of his own situation than anything actually reflective of Aberdeen's, because it appears slightly bizarre to me.
The thing is, with Aberdeen, they're a huge club in Scottish football, and their finances dictate that they can obviously use it as a springboard, and they can obviously start progressing up the league. And I think they've been in a fortunate position with, I think, the restructuring of their debt and things like that as well, that they've been allowed to then catapult themselves up the league. You say Derek McInnes is in there, and say the level of consistency has been fantastic. He's a fantastic manager, and he gets the best out of the players. But I say, in terms of catapulting themselves up compared to what we've been able to do, I think finances has probably dictated a lot of that.
It's our superior.
Eh?
I haven't seen you look so confused.
There's only one bit of that I agree with.
Well, but, I mean,
our superior financial resources, Dave. We buy all the talent.
And as every Dons fan knows, whilst it's great to be debt free, first of all, it only happened very recently. And secondly, it's made absolutely diddly squat difference in terms of what Derek Cannon can't do in the budget. So I think Gary Teal, basically
clutching at straws.
Yeah, that's the phrase I was going to use.
Yeah, the man who wore the captain's armbands for the Reds the majority of this season is the ever-present Mark Reynolds, explaining to Red TV for Northern One's Friday Sport the formula for success in recent weeks.
Everybody's been doing their job, and everybody's been, I think the manager always talks about kind of the honesty and the hard work, and we've said that right from day one, that any team that comes to Vitoria or any team that we face at their home ground should never come off the pitch after 90 minutes having outworked us or outfought us or gave more than us. I think that the bare minimum you can ask for is kind of 100% effort, and that you give your all, and even if you're having a bad game you still run yourself into the ground and hope that that bit of quality will come from somewhere else in the park, and that'll be enough for you to win. So it's I think it's just been that everybody's been working hard and doing their job, and as I've said, we've always had the quality in the pitch and we've always known the quality's there that we'll get the goal, so we just need to keep working hard, and we keep the clean sheet at the back, we know the boys up top will do the job and get the goals.
Just led by example and being his consistent self throughout the campaign again, hasn't he, Dave Galloway? Mark Reynolds has just been quietly outstanding and amongst all the others that have been getting the plaudits.
Yeah, it very much like Ryan Jack. They're just so good at what they do. They're so solid. They're so dependable. And, you know, they both lead by example, don't they?
Will Celtic or their fans be at all concerned right now, Dave?
I think they, well, certainly it's not the position they wanted to be in. I'm quite sure that when Celtic booked their mid-winter break, they were expecting to be very much kind of out of sight by now. Mm. So the fact that they're not even top will be a concern to them. And I think the ridiculous over-the-top celebrations by their manager after a routine win against a pretty ordinary Kilmarnock side on Monday night does tell you that you know that they are starting to at least be a bit concerned. I mean, there's a long, long way to go, and as we know, it's one game at a time from Aberdeen perspective. But no, I think yes, is the short answer to your question. I think they're starting, but you know, the time to be talking about titles is not now in January. It's say a couple of months down the line, around about Easter time, when things, if we're keeping our challenge going, then you know, and the other thing is, you know, let the fans talk about, great that the fans are getting really excited about the way things are going, as they should, because we're in the middle of a run that we've not been on for an awful long time.
Did they have an over the top win celebration on Monday night?
Ronnie Dyla did he almost the same as he did when they won
at Pittodrie,
but we were talking against a Kilmarnock team that were quite frankly awful.
Yeah. You know, so it's not what you were going to say there.
No.
I didn't watch, but Niall tweeted me momentarily whilst. whilst we touch on the subject of Celtic, Niall McGinn spotted the Kilmarnock versus Celtic game the other night in the Celtic End, a photo of which circulated quickly on social media, leading to some fans protesting about the fact that he was there. This is what the Dons boss has to say in the matter.
His agent has shown a poor regard for Aberdeen, and I think whether he knowingly put it out there, I don't know. I've tried to speak to him and he hasn't took my call, so... But I do think he put Niall in a difficult situation. And Niall's agent is as a friend of his, you know, and someone he trusts. So I think he's let Niall down. I think he's shown a poor regard for Aberdeen. And whatever his reasons were, who knows? But, you know, Niall McGinn is fully committed. He's just signed a new deal with us. Since he's been here, he's been a brilliant signing. Our supporters, no, the majority, and the ones who know what we're talking about, know that Niall's fully committed.
The ones who know
yes,
what
I like that bit
about.
At the end.
Storm in a teacup?
Totally. Thanks. Absolutely, totally.
Let's check in with you for the first time this evening, and in fact this year, with our weekly topic and poll, both of which you can see on Aberdeen Mad. This week's topic was started by Dandy's Daft, who says, "And so it begins." I wondered how long it would take before the combined axis of evil that is everything south of Lawrence Kirk started to get the ball rolling in a campaign to unsettle the Dons' title bid. Strike one. A Celtic supporting agent posts a pic on Twitter of current Dons player in the Celtic End. Result, meltdown by sections of our support. You can add plenty more to the above list if our current form continues, as I guarantee that every trick in the book will be used to unsettle us. So we need, as Dons fans, to treat this nonsense with the contempt it deserves and not rise to the bait so easily. As trust me, this is just the start. Just proves one thing, they are worried. They don't like it up them, Captain Mannering.
Don't panic.
Dave's got your thoughts on that one as it progressed.
Yeah, from New Orleans Red, I'm staggered that we haven't seen Celtic linked to one of our players yet this window. It's practically a tradition for the Old Farm. The Dead team used to do it regularly with the assistance of their journal lackeys. The art form of unsettling a team isn't new, and love it or hate it, when there's a lot of stake, mind games can win games and lose them. It'll almost certainly get dirtier if we hang in there at the top. The sheer outrage of another team filling their God-given place in the league will prompt them to take the gloves off. Cove Creep agrees, but having read the other thread, thankfully there's no meltdown apart from a small minority. Most are sensible posts. Need more of a siege mentality, though. McInnes will hopefully show the same contempt for Niall's actions as Fergie would have done if Dingus had tried such a stunt. That was obviously before Derek did his presser. The Angus Bull, he also says that there is evidence about Celtic being worried. One, the totally OTT celebrations from them for a November game win at Pittodrie. Two, although Derek and the players constantly talk down any title talk, Celtic have been quick to remind everyone that it's still on their in their hands and have been dismissive of our form. Three, the Celtic comment about ICT being a better team than us. Four, big celebrations for a comfortable win on Monday showed by them they think they are in for a fight. From T-Boy 1903, and let's not forget the agent in question has a brand new book to promote. From Vinny DeSalvo, prefer Niall releases his own statement on the park at the end of February when they play them. Get the doubters off your back, wee man, and do what most have been watching you do on a weekly basis. Give your all for the glorious dandies, and a match winner would work just nicely. From AFC since 73, I think reaction says more about a section of our fans than it does of what McGinn did or didn't do. I remember being at a cup semi-final at Ibrox. Davey Robertson, a diehard Dons fan all his life, but was playing for Rangers at the time, was in our end versus Celtic, supporting his team with his dad and I think possibly his wife. He got so much abuse during the first half that he had to move and actually spent the rest of the game in the Celtic section. Unbelievable behaviour. So McGinn spent the day off going to watch the Celtic game. Did his love of Celtic stop him committing long term to us? No. Did Charlie Nicholas miss his pen in the 1990 Cup final when he was already signed for Celtic? No. People need to grow up. From Dandy Andy, I'm sure Derek will use this and take a leaf out of Sir Alex's book and create a siege mentality within the squad. From Skosur, for the first time in decades, I'm not afraid of it. Bring on your transfer links, bring on your unsettling tactics, bring on your biased Ouija gutter press. You're worried. The more you deny it, the better we feel. The more smear tactics you try, the better we feel. With the best squad, best work rate, best skill level, best manager that we've had in a long time, you, on the other hand, still have the same old tactics. Bring it on. From Stony Scarfer, I stopped reading what the press had to say a long time ago. I only care what Derek McInnes has to say in the matter. The man has shown exemplary behaviour when dealing with the press thus far. Gone are the days of reading some rubbish in the local player papers about player A shooting down the next opposition. The Strathclyde Football Association are scared, no doubt. Good, stand free. 05 Car, once February 1 arrives, how much unsettling can the press do to players? No one can be signed until the summer when the season is finished. And finally, from 67 Superdon, it's always a big test on how a manager reacts to this nonsense. Fergie was undoubtedly the past master and could regularly turn the tables on them. We have a management team that has rebuilt a spirit at our club and are showing a maturity in dealing with the media. I now have confidence in Derek and Tony will not allow the small mentality of the West Coast media or village idiot agents to destroy our club spirit. Come on, you Reds.
Just briefly going back to the Gary Teal topic, where I said it was quite a bizarre little clip. Marky, who is a St Mirren fan, has tweeted us to say, Teal wasn't talking about the debt. When talking about your financial resources, he was obviously speaking about the bigger fan base affording used to attract better players on better salaries. So
that'll be the same Marky that tweeted us today, come on, you Saints.
Yeah, absolutely. I said, try not to be too biased because I'll be listening at work tomorrow.
Sorry, Marky. Apologies in advance.
Right, remember, if you want to take part in the weekly topic or poll, we'd love to hear your thoughts, but bear in mind, as you type them out in Aberdeen Mad, if you want them to get on air, you have to make them easily broadcastable, so no naughty words, it would make your granny blush. You'll find them in Aberdeen Mad in any given week from about midweek onwards. Keep an eye out. Now, let's get on to that team selection for tomorrow. We'll start with Dave the Younger, predictor Derek time.
Okay, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. Brown in goals, Logan, Taylor, Reynolds and Considine at the back, Pollitt, Jack and Hayes in the middle, with McGinn, Goodwillie and Rooney up front.
Yep, same.
Next, the one to watch. Dave Mack first this time.
I'm going to go for Peter Pollitt. He's been showing signs that he's just about ready to go. You know, he scored a couple of goals recently as well. Was denied by the handball, I think it was, from in the build-up when he could have got 3-3. So he's playing well just now. He's heading towards a season's high in goals scored. So I think Peter Pollitt is my one to watch for tomorrow.
And Dave Galloway.
For me, David Goodwillie, although he's not scored nearly as many goals as he or indeed us would like, his play has been outstanding most of the time. Absolutely terrific. He's been so unlucky. I think he's going to get a hat-trick sooner rather than later.
A hat-trick sooner rather than later?
Sooner rather than later.
Right, you never know. If one of them starts with an overhead kick again, I'll quite happily take that. Just ahead of asking our experts what they think the score will be tomorrow afternoon, let me get to your thoughts again with our weekly poll, which looks like this in Aberdeen Mad. Will Aberdeen make it 8 league wins and shutouts in a row on Saturday? Will Aberdeen make it 8 league wins and shutouts in a row on Saturday? The answer...
This is pretty decisive. Yes, 84.6%. No, just 15.4%.
Nay voting. Far too superstitious to put a hex in it, says Landvetter 83. From 67 Superdon, nothing certain in football. Fairly sure that the Dons will win this, though. St Mirren will fight tooth and nail, but we are playing some really good football and have the tactical nous to get the better of them and carry on this terrific run. They'll be nervous. We shouldn't be. And finally to Red China, who says, St Mirren have only bagged 1 point at home this season. Dons have the best away record in the league. Anything less than 3 points is not acceptable in this case. If the league challenge is real, 4-0. Things we've learned so far in the show this week. Dave Mack's new username on Aberdeen Mad is Red China. So what do our experts think? What will the score be? Dave Galloway.
I'll go for 3-0 Aberdeen. I'm not saying that tomorrow is definitely the game where Goodwillie will get his hat-trick, but I get the feeling he will get a hat-trick soon if he keeps playing the way he's playing.
Okay. I'll go for 0-4.
Fair enough. The entire game live as always in North Sound 2 from 2. Gav's got Get It On, and the two Daves and Andrew Shiny will be our team watching on. You'll get goal flashes on North Sound 1 with Elisa as well, but the entire match live on North Sound 2. Preview of all the other games coming up in North Sound 1's Friday Sport in moments. We're around the grounds and down the divisions next, starting with the matches in the Scottish Premiership in just a minute.
North Sound 1, the official station of the Dons, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
Just on 20-7, this is John and the two Daves. In a moment, the Scottish Premiership. But Frank from Stricken, do you know, I always enjoy it when we ask a question. If we can't answer it, then someone always phones in and tells us. I asked, when was the last time the Dons were top of the league after Christmas? Frank, you got the answer.
I've got the answer. It was New Year 1984. And it was my first game as a Dons fan, and the St Johnstone game, I took my little boy, who was 1 month old, and it was the same date, the same opposition, the same result, and the same league position for the Dons.
Wow. How old did you say he was? He was
1 month.
Was 1 month old.
What do you think I've called him?
Don.
I tried to think. Derek?
Well, I thought about Peter Pollitt.
Right.
But we've gone with
Peter,
Jack.
Well, he'd be a Peter Pollitt baby then, wouldn't he?
Yeah. But I've gone with Jack.
You've gone with Jack, okay. I'd rather Ryan Jack, okay. Well, congratulations on Jack's arrival. 1 month, I'm just trying to think, there must have been a home game that you could have gone to before 1 month came along. You call yourself a supporter?
myself.
Cheers, Frank. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. Another game's of the Scottish Premiership this weekend. Celtic versus St Johnstone postponed to allow Celtic the chance to get a suntan. The first game that we'll look at is Dundee against Motherwell, starting with Dundee's Paul Hartley.
We look at the position you're in. 8th, aye, we're okay. We're 11 points from, you know, the teams below us in terms of the bottom team. So I think we've got to, you know, remain positive, keep working hard and try to climb the league.
Motherwell's Ian Barraclough, successful in having the red card given to Stephen McManus last weekend against the Dons, rescinded.
You know, I think it was proven right. I think the referee has sort of come out and been big enough to sort of say he made the mistake, which was, it's just what you want. You know, that's why you have cameras there. That's why you have this system in place. And it's, I think, common sense certainly has prevailed.
Dundee versus Motherwell, Dave McDermott.
I'm going to go for 1-1. I didn't see too much in Motherwell to see that they're going to have anything other than a long, hard season ahead of them. Dundee just can't buy a win at the moment. So given all those into the mix, I'll go for one apiece.
Kilmarnock went down 2-0 to Celtic on Monday night at home. At least that's what Niall tweeted me, as I said. I wasn't interested. So long as we win all our games, title's out. Tomorrow, Alan Johnson looking for better and for his team to bounce back.
There's going to be blips. That's just the way life is, and it's how you react to that and how you respond. And we've got to, if we win the game on Saturday, then it's a step closer to Inverness, and obviously we go above St Johnson because they're not playing.
And now, listen everyone, Big Yogi's back in 1, 2, 3.
It's going to be a real difficult football match, but if we've got aspirations to really go and try and challenge in the top half of the league, we need to make sure that we're going to Kilmarnock and picking up the 3 points.
Kilmarnock versus Inverness, Steve Galloway.
I think Inverness will win 3-0.
And take all 3 points up the road. Yes. If it goes ahead, there's been some doubt because of power failure in the area. Ross County are at home to Partick. Staggy's Jim McIntyre knows exactly what they're facing.
Thistle in good form. They've only lost once in 5 matches, so you know they're coming here with confidence. So it's important that we start the game properly and make sure that we get that first goal.
Jags' Alan Archibald, though, has very little idea what he's going to be up against.
A totally different side at the moment in the team that we played in the first day of the season. I think there's maybe only 3 or 4 players left from the side that started against us. So they look like a different side, they've got a different spirit about them. I've seen them at Parkhead and they get a really good point. You can see they're fighting for their lives and for the manager.
Stags v Jags, Ross County versus Partick Thistle, Dave.
I think the Jags will win that one by 2-1.
Monday evening, 7:45 sees Hamilton welcome Dundee United, minus the man who guided Hamilton back to top flight football, Alex Neil.
I was sitting watching an under-20s match, and obviously I got the phone call, and then it just sort of gathered pace from there. So yeah, definitely surprised, but exciting. Something I'm really looking forward to, and desperate for the challenge.
Still pose a big threat in their own ground, though, Hamilton, managerless or not. Something United boss Jackie McNamara is very aware of.
Hamilton are a good side, hard working. They're in your face, you know, artificial pitch as well. They're used to it. They're good in it. The last game there, they beaten Motherwell 5-0. So we know it's going to be a hard game. It's live on the telly. We have to match them, first and foremost, for their effort and commitment.
Hamilton versus Dundee United, Dave Galloway.
I think that should be an absolutely cracking game. Both teams packed with quality youngsters. I think Dundee United might just edge that one 2-1.
Just briefly on Alec Neil for Norwich, were you surprised that Norwich went for him? I mean, is it the football equivalent of, say, like a fad buy, or do you think he's got the pedigree?
I think he's got the pedigree. You speak to the people that know their football and they've all got good things to say about him. I suppose Norwich fans are probably, most of them won't know too much about Scottish football. So, for Scottish football, I really hope he's a success. He certainly deserves a chance. Martin Canning's now been installed as interim player coach at Hamilton. So they're again promoting from within, which is the way they do things. So it's a good opportunity. But what you will see, I think, is that Hamilton team starting to break up, because I'm quite sure one of the first points of contact to get players to try and strengthen Norwich will be New Douglas Park. So
with what you know, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. But I do hope he's a success, because there are a lot of good managers in Scotland.
Briefly into the Championship, Alloa welcome Rangers, Kenny McDowell.
It's a tough place to go. I mean, they've obviously had good results against us, but they've also had good results against other teams as well. So we're expecting a tough game, you know, but it's a game we know we can win, you know, but we obviously got to go there with the right attitude and get after them.
In the other games, Dumbarton take on Hearts. Hibs welcome Falkirk. Livingston host Cowdenbeath. And Queen of the South travel to meet Raith Rovers. In League One, Peterhead drew 1-1 away to Dunfermline and slipped to 7th last weekend. Tomorrow, they're on the road again to play Airdrie, the team who leapfrogged them into 6th. Boss Jim McNally.
We've actually done okay. You know, if you bear in mind that we're a promoted side, we've not made a lot of changes to our team. And, I think we've learned a wee bit. I mean, on Saturday against Dunfermline, I didn't think there was a lot between the teams, whereas when they played us, I know we got a draw with them at Balmoor, but I felt for an hour of that game they were miles ahead of us, and I didn't feel as though they were miles ahead of us on Saturday. So I think we've kicked on a wee bit, and I think if we could string 2 or 3 games together, which is hard in this league, but if we could do it, we'd be right in amongst it.
Saturday, away to Airdrie, what do you see from that one? What can you expect from that one?
Well, I think Airdrie's the team in form, to be honest. I think they're on a terrific run, and we've already played them twice and beat them once and drew with them. Again, we know them pretty well. It's another away game for us. It's actually a third away game in the bounce, so we're quite used to getting away from home, to be honest, and especially recently. And we'll just take it in our stride. It's obviously the Astroturf pitch, which again we train on, so we're used to that. So we'll just go and we know it'll be tough because Airdrie's confidence will be sky high, but so should ours be. We've been to Capello and East End Park in the last two games and took 4.26. So, you know, we should be feeling good about ourselves too.
And Peter Head making a couple of signings, Dave.
Yeah, that's right. Winger Nicky Riley, who was on loan at Balmoor earlier this season, he signed until the end of the campaign. Now, he was recently, of course, released by Dundee. Also, defender Cammy Kerr has extended his loan from Dundee for the rest of the season.
To the Highland League, where third place Wick Academy travel to Buckie. Game of the day locally sees Cove Rangers welcome champions Brora, who currently in second spot. They're just the 1 point behind Turriff, but with a couple of games in hand. Nairn County are at Devon Vale. Steve Patterson's from Arton United. Welcome Fort William.
Fort William, I think, created a bit of history last Saturday. They won four consecutive games in the Highland League. I think I'm right in saying the first time in their history. So their confidence obviously would be sky high. We went to Fort William earlier in the season and gnarly won 2-1. I think it was scored with 2 minutes to go. So, you know, it'll be a tough game. But, you know, I'm just hoping that we can get a game. You know, I think that's regardless of who we're playing, well, I would like to think everybody will be, certainly the players will be refreshed and desperate to get back playing on a Saturday.
In the remaining matches, Fraserburgh take on Lossiemouth, Huntley welcome Rothes, fifth place Inverurie Locos meet Clach at Harlow Park, Keith entertains Strathspey Thistle, and leaders Turriff are at home to Forest Mechanics in the juniors, Dave.
Yeah, full league programme tomorrow in the PMAC Super League. Banksiri take on Inverness City, Cooter travel to Cruden Bay, Deverin Side are at home to Stonehaven, it's Dice entertaining leaders Maud, Hermes they travel to Elland United, FC Stonywood against New Elgin will take place in Elgin, and Hall Russell United against Bank. St Tern in First Division East. Bridge of Don Thistle are up against Lewis United at Hill Head. Parkvale travel to Buckenhaven Hearts. It's East End against Fraserburgh United alongside at home to Glentanner. Sunnybank against Colony Park in the First Division West. Forest Thistle travel to Bucky Rovers. Burghead Thistle against Spey Valley. Dufftown at Lossie United. Nairn St Ninian against Granton. And finally Port Gordon Victoria are at home to Islevale.
To England, only the alphabet separates the Premier League's top two going into this weekend's fixtures. Richard Newman looks ahead for North Sunderland's Friday Sport.
20 games into the top flight season and a rarity. Chelsea and Manchester City have identical records. They are officially the joint leaders, with Jose Mourinho's side only ahead because the letter C comes before M. Both teams will be aiming to take outright leads. Chelsea host Newcastle while City go to out-of-form Everton. Here's City manager Manuel Pellegrini.
Every game will be a final, I think, for all the teams that are involved in the fight for the title.
Tottenham can move into the top four with victory over Crystal Palace in the late game, who have Alan Pardew in charge for his first Premier League game since taking over. Pardew predicts Selhurst Park will be bouncing and says they have to make the most of that.
We've got to try and create some pressure here and some momentum that gets us victories. It's always in the back of my mind, Alex Ferguson telling me that, you know, the most important thing in the Premiership is momentum.
Two strugglers meet as Burnley host QPR, while bottom of the table Leicester take on Aston Villa. Tony Pulis' West Brom face Hull. Liverpool's trip to Sunderland is the early game and Swansea play West Ham. Then on Sunday, it's third against fourth, their positions at the start of the weekend anyway, as Manchester United host Southampton. Ronald Koeman will be resuming rivalries with Louis van Gaal.
We had some problems in the past, but we shake hands and I hope he will do it on a good way with Man United. And of course, it's special to beat him, but I lost the last time.
Also on Sunday, Arsenal take on Stoke.
In rugby, Aberdeen Grammar went down 44 points to 13 away to Peebles last weekend, and Stuart Corsa looking for vastly improved form and score at home to Mar tomorrow.
It'll be very physical and a very hard game, and it'll be a full 80 minutes because we went down in front to them, but they obviously came back and won the game when we played down in Mar, so they know that if they keep plugging away that, you know, we might obviously succumb to them. But we're looking to obviously put last week right and put the performance, you know, a new performance for 2015, start playing some good rugby again. So looking forward to it.
We'll get on to our weekend coverage in just a minute, but briefly in tennis, and Andy Murray in action earlier today.
Yeah, playing Hopman Cup after losing to Poland earlier on in the week. That was, so it was a one win, one defeat. They were playing up against the home nation today, and good to say that Andy and Heather Watson won all three of their rubbers, so it was a 3-0 whitewash against Australia. So doing well, his form's looking good, as people like, Djokovic got beaten by Karlovic yesterday. Nadal is just struggling to get to match fitness, I think, to, more than anything else. And also Roger Federer not firing on all cylinders yet. So interesting times going against, you know, as we head into the Australian Open, which begins after next weekend. So, and Andy Murray just quietly getting on with his business and looking not too bad at all. I'm always quietly confident at this stage.
Do you think when you're talking about the likes of Djokovic and Federer and Nadal being a little bit off the pace, is it just because they're so used to peaking at the right moment and coming into the big slams and just being there in the minute that they need to?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Whereas Andy always used to, everything was dependent on the slams. Andy last year, I think, changed his strategy slightly, so that, you know, hence the reason he won his two Masters events, or sorry, the two ATP Tour events very late on to get himself into the O2. But they do, and particularly at this time of year where they've had the break, it's more likely that you'll get upsets as players have had just a few weeks off. But you can be sure, quite sure, that once the Australian Open starts, that all of these guys will be back ready, and Djokovic is still the one to beat. He'll start as top seed in Melbourne, there's no doubt about that.
How long to the Australian?
After the end of next weekend it starts, so okay. A week on Monday.
Well, fingers crossed for that one. As far as our weekend coverage is concerned, Dave?
Yeah, well, Jim will be at what should be a cracker of a game just up the road, Cove Rangers against Brora Rangers, the Battle of the Gers, and Andrew, Dave and myself, full commentary on Game On North Sound 2.